I want to start this morning with a verse of scripture from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, and then a small devotion from my daily reading that I thought was helpful this morning. 1 Peter 3, 8 says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted. Be courteous." Sometimes one word just won't do. In New Testament Greek, when the writers wanted to encourage people to act kindly and affectionately toward one another, they wrote how. I'm going to tear this word really up. Eus splagio, splagnum. Two words combined into one. Eu meant good, and splagnum meant the internal organs, heart, the liver, the bowels. It meant to pull up good feelings and affections from deep within yourself and display those toward others. When it came to translating this word into English, again, one word wasn't sufficient. We combined calm, which means with passion, heartfelt emotion, to create compassion. Compassion is the English version of Greek, good affections from deep within. Both are good words, strong words, and evoke images of what it means to identify with the pain and needs of others. Calm means compassion with or towards others. Compassion is not a solo act of emotion. Compassion has a human object. And passion, well, passion is passion. We know it even when we can't define it. Compassion cares. Have compassion for someone in your world today. Pull up from deep within the love that will let them know you care. Compassion makes one person feel pain when another person is hurting. What exactly does love do? Love is supposed to care. Love is supposed to reach out. Love is supposed to be the healing in our world that is needed. There are many things that we describe love to be. True compassion is not the same as love. Love can be fake. We can say that we love someone. We can even force ourselves to reach out and try to help in the name of Christian love. But to have compassion is to truly feel their pain, to respond with more than just our earthly belongings, to actually, really care. When was the last time you really cared about someone's circumstances? I ask the question honestly to all of us this morning. I know that we want to think that we're caring and loving people, but what I want you to consider is when the last time was it entered your mind and your heart and you felt it from within that you really cared deeply about the plight of someone that you've come in contact with. When has God stirred you lately about the plight of others? When has he put someone in your heart that you felt so compelled to give or to help or to do something? When was the last time you really cared about someone else's circumstances? Our first example this morning is one that we often see in our Savior. We read that Jesus, upon hearing of the illness of Peter's mother-in-law, went to her and healed her. Now, this is significant for us to hear and see the reaction of Jesus. Now, we could be very skeptical here. After all, she did get up and start to serve them. Maybe this healing was selfish on the part of Jesus. Really? Is there anything that God needs that he cannot provide for himself? Is there anything that God needs us to do that he cannot do himself? Is there anything that we can possibly give God that he could not have claimed for his own? There's nothing that Jesus could not have had happen that he didn't need. Jesus, because of his compassion, could not ignore her plight. Listen to this. Because we are supposed to be followers of Jesus Christ, Jesus, because of his compassion, could not ignore the plight of this woman. The disciple said, Peter's mother-in-law is ill. That's all Jesus needed to hear. She's ill. I have the power to heal. So I will heal. The compassion of Jesus. I want you to remember that today. How compassionate is your Savior? Jesus healed people all night. Why? In order to become famous? No. He wouldn't even allow the demons to proclaim who he was. He could have been famous. The demons would have told the world that he was the Son of God. It was because of his great compassion. He could not turn them away or turn away from them. Let's ask ourselves, who do we turn away from? I'm serious here when I ask you this question because I know that I do it. I don't like that I do it at times. But I see the plight of others and I turn away. We all turn away at times. I don't believe that Jesus had this ability, the ability to turn away from any need. Do you want to know what I think this morning? You probably don't, but here it is. I think that we turn away from everyone and everything that inconveniences us. We turn away from everyone and everything that inconveniences us. If it gets in the way of what I want, if it gets in the way of what my schedule is, if it gets in the way of what I need my money for, if it gets in the way of what I've planned, then forget about it. I'm going to turn away because I don't want to face that. Because if I face it, I might not get what I want. I might not get what I think I need. I'm sorry this morning if you are going to be offended by this, but I'm pointing to you and I'm pointing to me, and I think that we turn away so many times from everyone and everything that might cause us to do something that we really would rather not. Now, one more thing before we move to the next scripture. Let us pay attention to verse 38. Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Jesus' compassion went far beyond the physical needs of mankind. He came as a solution to our sinful state. He cared about the eternal souls of people. He knew that his gospel was the most important thing that he could share. Everything that we do should be geared towards salvation. Everything that we do in the church should be geared towards salvation. Does that mean that we don't do mission work? No. Does that mean that we don't take care of things? No. Does that mean that we don't do the business of the church? No. But everything that we do should have an underlying current of reaching out with salvation to the world around us. Because that's what we're called to do. Jesus was going to heal. Jesus was going to relieve people's worries. He was going to chase demons away. But as he was doing that, the underlying thing in his life, what his real mission was going to be, was bringing them to salvation. He understood why he came. That was the reason. Everything else was great. Everything else, to me, as you look at Scripture, was just kind of gravy for everybody. Submission. This is why I came. Let's move on. Let's get on with it. Everything that we do in the church should be geared towards bringing other people to salvation in Jesus Christ. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Paul is a free man. In those days, there were many who could not say that. But Paul is willing to become a slave to everyone. Why? For the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is willing to give up his very freedom. If it means that he has to be enslaved to another person, this free man, this person that can do whatever he wants, is willing to say, if it means that I can reach a person for Jesus Christ, then let me become a slave. For the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Christians, those who have made a commitment to Jesus, you are free. You can do as you please with your precious time. But what are you willing to do for the gospel? What are you willing to do for your Savior? What are you willing to do for the sake of others coming to salvation? Listen to Paul and really take it in for a moment as he speaks. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law. Though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. Without compromising your faith, not involving ourselves in the sin that is all around us, what do we do for the gospel? Come on this morning. I really want to know. I really want to know. Maybe that's what we should do. Maybe I should go around the room and ask every one of you to stand up and tell me what you have done for the gospel this week. Just stand up and tell me. You know, instead of in the morning you come and say, how God moving in your life, tell me some wonderful story. Now what I want is you to tell me what you have done for the gospel of Jesus Christ this week. There was a time in the church when that happened. Now, I had somebody tell me this morning, now I'm not going to stand up because I don't want it to seem like I'm bragging. Now, wouldn't that be bragging? Please brag. Please brag. Please let me know that you're doing something. Please let me know that you're standing for Jesus Christ. Please let me know that you're sharing your faith. There was a time in the church. Time in the church. Well, that was commonplace. People stood up all the time and said, guess what happened to me this week? Guess who I got to witness to? Guess who I saw come to Jesus Christ this week? Guess, look at the wonderful work that happened in front of my eyes. I want to tell you about it. Maybe that's where we need to be. Yeah, if I did that, people will probably stop coming to church. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. We, as the church, have lost our urgency. The fact that Jesus could come at any moment to claim his church seems to have no effect on our daily lives. Do you know what the difference is between the Christian church in the United States and the persecuted church all over the world? Maybe it's because of the dire circumstances of their lives, but they are all in for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And daily people are coming to Jesus. Daily people are coming to Jesus. Every time they get together and have a church service, somebody comes to the altar. Many people come to the altar. Every time the word is preached to them, people are moved. The people of the church are going out and telling others. There's a great movement in the Christian church, but it's just not happening in this country. Here in the churches across this nation, we seem to place importance on every other aspect of our faith and avoid the one that Jesus commands us to do. He left us with no other commandment but go and make disciples of the world. Go and make disciples of the world. Really? What do we do? What do we do for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Friends, I'm not expecting miracles, but we should ask ourselves that question every day. What have I done today? And what will I do tomorrow? And who might God bring my way? And who can I witness to? And who can I speak into their life? And who can I tell about this Savior that has changed my life? And who can I tell that Jesus is coming? And who can I encourage with these words? And how can I be a witness for my Lord? Are we asking ourselves these questions? Do we want to?